Hello and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for everything Avalanche. I'm your host, JV. This show will break down the 4-3 shootout win against the Saints, 4-1 loss to the Ducks, 3-1 win versus the Blues, 2-1 loss to the Coyotes, as well as the 4-3 win for the Lightning. I'll also tell you why Lack is playing the Black Friday Coyotes game for a ton of a bunch of money, why Pete Cole with John Silas is watching back when the Avs play the Kings again on December 9th. Now I'll actually make history and criticize Avalanche captain Joe Sakic for the first time ever on this show. Those topics, your response to the question of the week, and much more coming up in episode number 36 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around, I'll be right back. So much for joining me. Those of you that are new listeners, if you're Avalanche fans, I think you're going to enjoy the show. Those of you that tune in every week, thank you so much for your patience with the technical difficulties, and thanks for your time. I wouldn't do this if it wasn't for you guys. You might have noticed that this is the throwback edition. You might have noticed the old music. For those of you that have listened for a while, this is the music that I used last year. It's directly from GarageBand on Apple. It's copyright free and everything. I'm going back to it because freeplaymusic.com isn't as free as I once thought. I think they changed the licensing agreement a few weeks ago, and I'm just not going to use them anymore for security's sake. Let's just say it that way. So you'll hear some of the music that I used last year. You'll hear some of the new music that I got off of GarageBand, but either way, it's kind of the throwback edition. Makes you feel like old times, doesn't it? All right, and also technical issues. I'm just going to reset the show soon. I'll resend the feed to iTunes. So the newest and latest will be up on iTunes so I can get more listeners. But for those of you that are listening, you know where to find me already, and I really appreciate your patience with that. So thanks. All right, episode number 36. Let's go over the jersey number 36s for the Avalanche and their history. The first one was Jeff Odgers. He arrived with the Avalanche on October 24th, 1997. He signed as a free agent with the Avalanche organization. He played in 205 total games for the Avs. He had 8 goals and 13 assists during that time. And also during that time, he had 634 penalty minutes and 73 fights. So he was a fan favorite for that reason, never afraid to drop the gloves and do what he needed to do for the team. He left the organization on June 23rd, 2000, when he was claimed by the Wild in the expansion draft. So Jeff Odgers, definitely a fan favorite and a guy that a lot of us will remember. And his nose told the story of his NHL career. The other number 36 that I know we all know very, very well was Steve Moore. He arrived with the Avalanche. He was drafted 53rd overall in the second round of the 1998 draft. He played 69 games with the Avalanche. He had 5 goals and 7 assists during that time. In that 69th game, we all know what happened with Todd Bertuzzi. He departed the organization on July 1st, 2004. He basically had to retire due to his injuries suffered at the hands of Todd Bertuzzi. We don't need to talk any more about that. We're going to split this. This is going to be the Jeff Odgers and Steve Moore edition of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for everything Avalanche, episode number 36. And that's your Avalanche history lesson for this week, or week and a half. I get all my information from avalanchedb.com. Go check it out. Got some great information. And if you want to know about Avalanche history, definitely go to their site. It's a great site. I use it every week. And thank you, avalanchedb.com, for what you provide for the show. All right, let's get into the – I got a lot of games to go over, so we're going to get right into it. Episode number 36, game number one I'll cover was Saturday, November 22nd against the Kings at Staples Center, and the Avalanche win this one 4-3 in a shootout. Brian Wilsey is in. He had just been called up. David Jones was the healthy scratch. Let's see, what else? The Kings debuted their brand-new third jerseys. I kind of like them. I think they look pretty sharp. And from what I've heard, teams that aren't wearing third jerseys this season – or debuting a third jersey this season, or working one for next season. So it'll be interesting to see if the Avalanche follows suit. I know, let's see, Red Wings fans, and I think the Red Wings are the one big one that the fans wouldn't be very happy for a third. But, you know, tradition is tradition, and new stuff is new stuff. So I'm kind of curious to see what the Avalanche will do with their third jersey. I don't think it'll look anything like the old one just because of how the Avalanche jerseys are made anymore, but we'll see. So the Milan Hayduk, TJ Hensick, and Ryan Smith line began the game for the Avalanche in this one. The Avalanche came out with some energy early and definitely more fun to watch. Energy is a good thing. The Avalanche need to stay out of the box. Really, that's all year long when they're struggling. and I put duh. So, yeah, that's about right. But early, not early, 17-10 into the first period, the Avalanche take the lead. Milan Hayduk scores his ninth of the year on the power play from TJ Hensick and Ruslan Soleil. Great wrister beat Eric Erzberg. Glove side off the post and a classic Hayduk goal. The Avalanche take a 1-0 lead in the second period. The Avalanche 14 shots during the first period, and the Kings had 13 shots scoring chances. Colorado had 8, and the Kings had 10. So a pretty entertaining game on the offensive side of the ice for both teams. So good for them. Wojtek Wolski, 5:59 in the second period, gives the Avalanche a 2-0 lead, his second of the season on the power play from Paul Stastny and John Michael Lyles. This was his first goal since the first game of the season in 17 games. He beat Eric Erzberg glove side with a snapshot and his patented fist pump. The Avalanche take a 2-0 lead in this game. It was their first two-goal lead in 13 games. Thank you, Avalanche. And then 6:51 into the period, things started to get a little interesting. John Zeiler, who is a forward for the Kings, hit Adam Foote from behind. Foote laid motionless and face down on the ice for a little bit. Trainer Matt Sokolowski, I think I said that right. They say it so fast on TV, it's hard. Matt Sokolowski, the trainer for the Avs, calls for help right away. More people come out. The stretcher comes out, and then Adam Foote gets up and skates by the stretcher. So you definitely don't get to see that very often. But we haven't seen our good buddy Adam Foote since. And that's definitely not good news for the Avalanche. Meanwhile, as all this is going on, Ian LaPerriere, as you expect, goes after Zeiler. Matt Green and Cody McCormick get into a fight. There's a big, I like to call it a skirmish. I like to say skirmish whenever I get a chance. Cody McLeod picked up a roughing minor. So it's all three people from the Lappy and McLeod and McCormick line into the penalty box. It's kind of crowded in there. It's a punchline party in the penalty box. And Shane Giroux also mentioned that punchline is not original, so that's the last time I'll ever say punchline, because punchline was used many, many years ago for the Canadiens. So punchline, rest in peace. We're just going to leave it there. John Zeiler got a 5-minute major and a game misconduct for boarding, and the Avalanche ended up with a 3-minute major power play, and they didn't do a whole lot with it. Not a whole lot of urgency when they could have gone up 3-0, which would have been really nice. Wojtek Wolski had a 4-minute double minor high sticking penalty 12 minutes into the period, and the Avs kill off the first half of that, and then the Kings score. Alexander Frolov scores his sixth of the season on the power play from Kyle Quincy and Jarrett Stoll at 14:45. This is a slap shot over Peter Budaj's left shoulder, and the Kings get within one at 2-1. The Avalanche take a penalty the next shift out. Ruslan Soleil had a hooking penalty, and the Avs killed that one. So the Avs get a late power play, can't do much with that, and the game is 2-1. Avalanche going into the third period. Crazy start to the third period. 49 seconds in, Patrick O'Sullivan ties the game up at 2 with his fifth of the year from Andrzej Kopitar. A rebound off a wraparound try that beat Peter Budaj high, and the game is now tied. Less than 2 minutes later, at 2:03 into the third period, the Kings score to take a 3-2 lead. Dustin Brown scores an unassisted goal, his eighth of the year. His wrister beat Peter Budaj. It was the first soft goal in a while for Peter Budaj. I know he wanted that one back. The Avalanche came into the third period with the lead and got a few shots later. And just a few shots later, actually, they're losing all of a sudden. And I sure wish they I'll bring it up again. I sure wish they would have worked a little bit harder when they were up by 2 goals and had that power play. But no worries. Paul Stastny comes back. He scores his fourth of the season from Scott Hannon and Wojtek Wolski at 4 minutes and 31 seconds of the third period to tie the game up at 3. This was Stastny's first even-strength goal of the season, and a great tip-in off a Hannon shot that, well, he tried to make it look like a shot, but it was a great pass right onto Stastny's stick, who deflected it by Erzberg, and it's a 3-3 game. And then 8:15 into the third period, Sean O'Donnell squished Wojtek Wolski's head against the boards. Looked like he was pretty hurt as well. He skates off with a little help, and it was the second Avalanche player, obviously, to leave the game. And squished head. I like saying that. And I think it wasn't anything that Sean O'Donnell did. He was just trying to finish his check. Wojtek Wolski lost his balance a little bit and ended up with his forehead between the boards and O'Donnell's forehead. So he officially leaves the game with a squished head. All right. Brett Clark plays a ton of minutes during this game. You could see him out there all the time, very dependable, and especially with a foot out. They're short one defenseman, obviously, and a good job done by Brett Clark. Darcy Tucker took a hooking penalty with 3:03 left in the game, and the Avs kill it with the scoring chances at the end of the kill for them. Jordan Leopold just misses, which is a huge slap shot from the slot, and the Avalanche get a few more scoring chances late, including a post by Ryan Smith on a wrister. But the Avalanche can't capitalize, and we go into overtime, 3-3. I wrote down, just to kind of flip a switch, I said Brian Wilsey will score the game-winning goal, and then I said that didn't work. Oh, well. All right. In the overtime, Anze Kopitar had a decent scoring chance. Ryan Smith had a good chance as well, but no scoring. So we go into the shootout, and I put way better overall effort by the Avalanche tonight. It sure is good to watch them work hard and score some goals. It's definitely more entertaining. In the shootout, Patrick O'Sullivan was a blocker right pad save by Peter Budaj. I wasn't sure which one it hit. It was one of those two. The Avalanche, then Marek Svatos fakes his forehands and slid the puck underneath Eric Erisberg with a backhand, and the Avalanche take a 1-0 lead in the shootout. This was actually voted the Avalanche goal of the week by the fans. It was a great move, real nifty. Faked the forehand, like I said, went to the backhand, and just kind of tapped the puck towards Erisberg. Kind of a nice changeup move. So the Avalanche taking 1-0 lead in the shootout. Dustin Brown then is stopped by Peter Budaj on the pad save. Dustin Brown tried to go five hole and he stuffed. And then Milan Hayduk wins the game. He fakes the forehand, waits very patiently to go high backhand, and the Avalanche win this for their eighth straight shootout win. I know there was a lot of people worried that Jose Theodore is out of here and Peter Budaj has struggled lately or in the past as far as shootouts go, but he's fine. And the Avalanche win this one 4-3. Eric Erisberg, 26 saves on 29 shots. Peter Budaj, 27 saves on 30 shots. The Avalanche are 2-for-5 on the power play. The Kings are 1-for-7. Notables for the Kings, Patrick O'Sullivan, a goal and 5 shots. Dustin Brown, a goal and 7 shots. And Jarrett Stoll, an assist and 3 shots. Notables for the Avalanche, Wojtek Wolski, a goal, an assist, and 4 shots. Brett Clark, 4 shots, and over half the game he played. Well, a little less than half the game since it went into overtime. He played 30 minutes and 30 seconds on the ice. Very dependable, like I said, can pick up a lot of slack when a player like Adam Foote goes down, especially in the middle of a game. Milan Hayduk, a goal and 3 shots. Ruslan Soleil, an assist and 5 shots. And Paul Stastny, a goal and assist. And the Avalanche win this one 4-3. Pretty good. I don't know. Nice to see some energy and a good win for them. So, the first game that I'll cover, Saturday, November 22nd, the Avalanche played the Kings at Staples Center, and they win this one 4-3 in the shootout. All right, the second game that I'll cover in episode number 36 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for everything Avalanche, was Monday, November 24th at the Honda Center against the Anaheim Ducks, and the Avalanche lose this one 4-1. Honestly, didn't get a chance to watch this one. Why? Because my I'm trying to be nice. The receiver died. And the DVR died, too, so I lost all the information off of it. Had a bunch of stuff, and Dish Networks wants to charge me $40 to get my stuff off of there for... Never mind. Whatever. I didn't get a chance to watch this game, but I saw the highlights on YouTube. That's the best I can do for you. I did my best. In the first period, 7 seconds in, Cody McLeod and Nathan McKeever get into a fight. This was a draw. I heard that McKeever was... Actually, this is stuff that I want to see. I read it in one of the blogs. He actually ended up with one of McLeod's elbow pads, and he tossed it over the glass to McLeod when it ended up in his penalty box. That's the stuff I like to see, and that's why Dish Network can, I don't know, they can do whatever. And then about 5.5 minutes in, Steve Monitor buries David Jones. This was on the YouTube highlights. Seems to take a big hit every game. He and Marek Svatos, they definitely are learning the game the hard way, and hopefully they can keep from doing that. That's one thing. Either people don't try to run at Joe Sakic, or they just respect him too much, or he's just that good. But I don't know. It makes me nervous when they get hit that hard. Anyways, the Ducks take a 1-0 lead when Teemu Selanne scores his 11th of the season on the power play from Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaf at 10:19 on a nice tip-in. 2 minutes and 20 seconds later, good puck movement by the Ducks leads to another easy goal. Not necessarily to an easy goal, but a fairly simple goal. Chris Kunitz scores his 4th from Brendan Morrison and Steve Monador. 13:39 into the period. This was a wrister that was actually pretty good shot. Peter Budaj is in pretty good position here, but nonetheless, the Ducks take a 2-0 lead in the second period. Shots in the first period, the Avalanche had 14 shots, the Ducks had 11. And actually, that second goal, Peter Budaj, a good position, like I said, he had the paddle down, and just as the penalty expired. So this almost technically actually counts as a power play goal for the Ducks, although it didn't necessarily count that way. Whatever. Chris Pronger, Captain Happy, then scores his 5th of the season from Todd Marchant and Brad May at 6:51 to give the Ducks a 3-0 lead. But I never saw this shot. This was a one-timer off of Todd Marchant's one-time chance that went wide and around the boards. And the Ducks take a 3-0 lead in the third period. Shots in the first in the second period, the Anaheim Ducks had 8, and the Avalanche couldn't muster much. They only had 4 shots. That's an average of a shot every 5. They had 4 shots. That's an average of... a shot every 5 minutes of play. Not too good. Too bad the Avalanche didn't show up for this one. Kind of what we've gotten used to lately, though. The Ducks then give up a goal finally. Ian LaPerriere solves J.S. Jaguar for a second of the season from John Michael Lyles and Cody McCormick at 2:13, a great tip-in. Clean face-off win by Cody McCormick, a slap shot from the point by John Michael Lyles, deflected past J.S. Jaguar by Ian LaPerriere. And the Avalanche show a little light early in the third period, down 3-1. And then about halfway through the period, Teemu Selänne got his second of the game, his 12th of the season, his 11th power play goal of the season. He's money on the power play, obviously. Right place, right time. From Scott Niedermeyer and Chris Pronger at 11:17. Great puck movement by the Ducks on the power play, which leads to goals. We see the Red Wings do this all the time, too. And the Ducks take a 4-1 victory. Shots in the third period, the Avalanche had 12. The Ducks only had 5, but couldn't quite get it by J.S. Jaguar, who stopped 29 of the 30 shots. Save the game was a left pad stop late in the first period on a 5-on-3 on Ryan Smith. Great save on that one. For those of you that saw it, it's on the YouTube highlight. I'll post that on my Podomatic page. Peter Budaj stopped 16 of 19 shots that he saw, and he was pulled after the second period. Andrew Raycroft then stopped 4 to 5 shots in the third period. On the power play, the Avalanche were 0 for 4, including a pretty long 5-on-3 late in the first period that went into the second period. And Anaheim was 2 for 3, including a goal right after the power play expired, like I mentioned before. Notables for the Ducks, Steve Monador, an assist in 5 shots. Teemu Selänne, 2 power play goals on 3 shots. Chris Kunitz had a goal in 4 shots. Chris Pronger had a goal and assist. And Scott Niedermeyer had an assist in 3 shots. Notables for the Avalanche, Ian LaPerriere, a goal in 3 shots. And Milan Hejduk, always getting his shots on net. 5 shots. So, like I said, I can't give you much on this game. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing, and I'd like to include those little details that I catch, but I couldn't. But Dish Network did do a good job. They got me the receiver pretty quick, but I also lose the Wild Series from last year and a bunch of stuff from NHL Network about the Avalanche, but I guess I can get it back eventually. Although I'll explain to you why having the Wild Series from last year would be pretty cool. Anyways, Monday, November 24th, the Avalanche lose at the Anaheim Ducks at the Honda Center on November 24th, like I said, 4-1. All right, the third game that I'll cover in episode number 36 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for everything Avalanche, was Wednesday, November 26th against the Blues at Pepsi Center. The Avalanche win this one 3-1. Manny Legacy comes into this game, 13-2 lifetime against the Avs. Cody McCormick, a healthy scratch for your Avalanche. In the first period, a good pace back and forth during the first half of the period. Decent chances by both teams. And then the Avalanche take a 1-0 lead on an unlikely source. Daniel Tarnqvist scores his first of the season in his second game in uniform for the Avalanche from David Jones and Ian LaPerriere at 11:20. Ian LaPerriere dumps the puck behind the net. David Jones does the dirty work, picks up the puck, and hits Tarnqvist coming down the slot. And he beats Legacy over his right shoulder. The Avalanche take a 1-0 lead in the second period. Shots in the first. Avalanche had 11. The Blues only had 5. And in the second period, I wrote it down. I said, was it me or did everything feel just a little bit better with Joe Sakic in the lineup? Too bad that didn't last very long. Keith Tkachuk then tied the game less than 5 minutes into the second period on his 10th goal of the year from Eric Brewer at 4:52. That was his 998th point in Keith Tkachuk's career, and he had his 1,000th point last night as I'm recording this. So congratulations, Keith Tkachuk. Welcome to the Hall of Fame. Definitely one of the best United players from the United States to ever play in the NHL. So classy guy, pain in the butt. Had some great, great battles with he and Adam Foote back when the Avalanche was making that cup run against Joel Quenneville's Blues. But there you go, Keith Tkachuk, 1,000 career points. That's a lot. Paul Stastny actually had a chance to clear this puck near the blue line and got stuffed, and Brewer passed the puck across the slot right onto Scott Hannon's stick, and he set up Keith Tkachuk for a really, really nice one-timer. It looked like he was just trying to press the puck forward just a little bit to one of his teammates, but all he really did was set up a nice one-timer, like I said, and that beat Budaj 5-hole, and Peter McNabb describes this as a bad bounce. For those of you that saw it or watched the highlights on YouTube, I'll let you decide whether that was a bad bounce or not. All right, the Avalanche, less than 5 minutes later, take a 2-1 lead. Ryan Smith scores his 6th of the season on the power play from Jordan Leopold and Ruslan Soleil. Really great. It's about time reaction from Smith in front. A nice clean win off the faceoff by Stastny to Ruslan Soleil. He passes across the blue line to Jordan Leopold, who one-timed it towards the net. And Ryan Smith deflects it straight down underneath Manny Legacy's pads, and the Avalanche take a 2-1 lead. About 7:30 into the second period, Ryan Smith left the game after he's running to the boards from behind, and he didn't even miss a shift. That was a nervous moment for us, but he was okay. Second period, the faceoffs through two periods, the Avalanche dominate. 22 faceoff wins for them, while only 10 for the Blues, and the Avalanche take a 2-1 lead into the third period. The Avalanche in the third period had an early power play, and it made you kind of miss John Michael Lyles when he was hurt or out. He had the flu, actually, this game. Ian LaPerriere, then 8-11 into the third period, scores his third of the year from Daniel Tarnquist and Tyler Arneson. This was a nice wrister that beat Manny Legacy short side, past his blocker, and Lappy scores a goal in back-to-back games, and no one enjoys a goal more than Ian LaPerriere. That's why we love Lappy, and that's why I'll explain to you why I love him even more now. And he threw himself into the boards on this one, and the Avalanche take a 3-1 lead. Halfway through the third period, like I said, TJ Hensick then took a double minor for a high stick on Barrick Jackman with about 4 minutes left in the game. David Perron rang the post with a big wrister during the first minor, and the Blues also had pulled Manny Legacy for a two-man advantage at this particular point. One thing that's been fairly dependable for the Avalanche, especially at home, has been the penalty kill. That was 18 straight kills at home. That streak just ended. I'll describe that a little bit later, but a great job by the Avalanche penalty kill at home. Peter Budaj, that was the end of the game, by the way. The Avalanche win this one 3-1. Peter Budaj stops 21 of 22 shots. Manny Legacy, 25 shots, 25 saves on 25 shots. On the power play, the Blues were 0-3. The Avalanche are 1-3. David Perron, four shots for the Blues. He was the only notable. And for the Avalanche, Brett Clark had four shots. Ian LaPerriere, a goal assist and plus two. Daniel Tarnquist had a goal and assist, plus two and three shots on net. And Ryan Smith had a goal and four shots. Ian LaPerriere was named the first star. He had an interview on the ice, like Altitude usually does, with Kyle Keefe. And Kyle Keefe was wondering if Ian LaPerriere had turned into a playmaker with a goal in back-to-back games. And Ian LaPerriere very, very quickly and very seriously said no and just kind of stared him down. Stop that, Kyle Keefe. You don't want to make Lappy angry. He's not a playmaker. He knows it. But we'll take goals from him anytime. The Avalanche now 13-3 against Manny Legacy all time. And take that, Manny Legacy. Wow, the Avalanche have a lot of catching up to do with him. We'll see. All right, so the third game that I'll cover in this podcast, Wednesday, November 26th, the Avalanche beat the Blues at Pepsi Center 3-1. All right, the fourth goal that I'll cover in episode number 36, game number four, was Friday, November 28th. The Avalanche play at the Jobbing.com Arena in Phoenix, and they lose to the Coyotes 2-1. No John Michael Lyles in this one because of the flu again, and Adam Foote out indefinitely with his neck, back, and knee issues. And the Coyotes debuted their third jerseys, and they're really ugly. That's what I thought. I didn't like these at all, but they won, so big deal. All right, Phoenix takes the lead, 3:33 into the first period. Our old friend Derek Morris scores his second of the season from Enver Leeson, and Daniel Carcillo at 3:33, like I said, a nice wrister beat Peter Budaj over his right shoulder, and the Coyotes take a 1-0 lead. Joe Sakic played one shift and left the game, 28 seconds total ice time for Joe Sakic. This meant that Milan Hayduk played on a line with Tyler Arneson and Wojtek Wolski, and not quite the chemistry that you want, and with a lot of injuries, although Tyler Arneson has been playing very, very well lately, and hopefully he can keep playing well. Having him on the second line on a consistent basis is not quite what you'd like to see. The defense was jumping into the play pretty often during the first period for the Avalanche, and definitely not enough scoring chances. So faceoffs in the first period, the Avalanche continued to do well in the faceoffs. The Avalanche had 11 faceoff wins, and the Coyotes only had three. In the second period, 4:49 in the second period, Kevin Porter scores his fifth of the year from Enver Leeson and Keith Yandle to take a 2-0 lead for the Coyotes. This was a rebound that beat Budaj. Porter with a nice tip on the initial shot ended up right at his feet, and he backhands it by Peter Budaj, and the Coyotes go up 2-0. Shots in the period, the Avalanche actually had 17 shots, and the Coyotes only had 10. And Peter McNabb and Mike Haines are making a huge deal out of the 17 saves that goalie Michael Tellquist made for the Coyotes, but there really wasn't a whole lot of scoring chances. He didn't have to work very hard. He could see most of these shots. He didn't have to do anything spectacular, and that was a little disappointing. The Avalanche finally solved Tellquist. They get within one. Ryan Smith scores his seventh of the year from Ian LaPerriere and Tyler Arneson at 4 minutes and 7 seconds of the third period. Nice wrister by Lappy along the far boards that hits the inside of Ryan Smith's right leg and goes by Michael Tellquist. A nice crotch shot from Ryan Smith. This was reviewed, but there's nothing to talk about. The Avalanche get within one. This meant that Ian LaPerriere had points in three straight games. Tyler Arneson points in back-to-back games. And that line actually looking pretty good. They continued their good work in the next game. The Avalanche had a power play chance 6.5 minutes into the period. Didn't do much. Ryan Smith just missed the tying goal when he powered by both Phoenix defensemen. And split the defense, just missed by a couple inches. And it was a pretty clear few minutes into the period that the next goal, if there was going to be one, would win the game, and there wasn't one. Phoenix took a delay of game penalty with 2.5 minutes left in the game, and the Avs don't get a shot before Marek Svatos takes a double minor for high sticking with a minute and 5 seconds left. Shots in the third period, the Avalanche had 14 shots, and the Coyotes only had three. But that was the end of the game. The Avalanche lose this one 2-1. Michael Tellqvist had 37 saves on 38 shots, and Peter Budaj stopped 18 of 20 shots that he saw. The Avalanche on the power play were 0-4. They are 5 for their last 50 in the 12 games previous to this. Aaron Lopez from the Rocky Mountain News, thank you for that stat. And the Phoenix Coyotes were 0-4. Brian Engblom in the post game on the altitude feed said the Avs are a little further along than people give them credit for, and it's hard to hear that based on what we've seen so far this season, but based on what you see in the standings, they're actually not doing that bad. Injuries are killing them. Joe Sakic was out with the back. Ben Gitte is out with the ribs. Darcy Tucker out with a knee for another about 3 weeks. Adam Foote out indefinitely. John Michael Lyles was out with the flu. Daniel Tarnquist played, but he had the flu as well, and just not a very good performance. They had a ton of shots on net, the Avalanche did, but, man, it was tough to watch. Brian Wilsey, notables for the Avalanche, had 4 shots. Milan Hayduk had 6 shots. Ryan Smith had a goal and 5 shots. And Enver Leesen for the Phoenix Coyotes had 2 assists and 3 shots. Like I said, Michael Tellqvist played very well but didn't really have to make that any real exciting saves, so that was too bad. All right, this is why. Ian LaPerriere, playing on Friday, saved someone a bunch of money, and that someone's me. MyGray, which is the site that catalogs and sells all the Avalanche jerseys that they wear on the ice, had a Black Friday sale, and any player in the NHL that actually played in the game on Black Friday, their jerseys that they wear during the games are half off. So I went ahead and, if you can keep a secret, my wife's not here right now, but she doesn't listen to the show anyway. She could care less. But anyways, I went ahead and bought myself a little birthday present, and I bought Ian LaPerriere's jersey that he wore, his white jersey that he wore on the road against the Wild and basically in the last quarter of the season and all through the playoffs. There's a huge, there's a really, really nice repair that the Avalanche had to make because he ripped on the left sleeve. He ripped a huge hole between the 1 and the 4 on his jersey, and I don't know how that happened, but that's why I'd like to have that stuff off my DVR so I can watch the games and kind of see him play in the jersey that I bought. But I should get that within, I don't know, a week. Really, really excited about that. And Joe Sakic's jerseys are usually $3,750, and he played 28 seconds, so I don't know if anybody bought one, but they sure saved themselves a bunch of money for Joe Sakic playing 28 seconds. I'm sure MyGray was very, very excited about that. But I had to take advantage of that, so that's why Ian LaPerriere playing on Black Friday was a very good thing for me and my collection. So I'll definitely share that on avalanchetalk.com. We have a jersey thread, and once I get it, I'll post plenty of pictures for you guys to check out. So thank you, Lappy, for staying healthy. All right, that's the end of this game. Wow, there's a hockey game, too. Friday, November 28th, the Avalanche lose at Phoenix against the Coyotes in the Jobing.com Arena, 2-1. All right, the fifth and final game I'll cover in this podcast was Saturday, November 29th, against the Tampa Bay Lightning at Pepsi Center. The Avalanche win this one 4-3. The Arneson-Svatos-Volsky line finally showing some serious chemistry, looked great early, provides some scoring chances for the Avalanche, gets the crowd into it. And hoping that line continues to stay out and take some of the pressure off the first line. It's good to have that second line of attack, like I've always said. The Avalanche take the lead late in the first period. Jordan Leopold scores his fourth of the year on the power play from Marek Svatos. And Jordan Leopold gained the blue line, passed to Marek Svatos, who split the forwards on the point on the PK. The passes to Leopold, who beats Olaf Kolzig over his left shoulder, got him the water bottle, asked him if he was thirsty. He said, "I'll get that for you." And the Avalanche take a 1-0 lead. They weren't done, though. A minute 59 later, Wojtek Volski scored his third of the season from Marek Svatos and Tyler Arneson. Once again, this was Tyler Arneson's third straight game with a point. So hopefully this is the new improved Tyler Arneson. I hope it lasts let's just make it last for as long as we can. Tyler Arneson won the faceoff clean to Marek Svatos, who shot the wrister. Olaf Kolzig made the save. And Wojciech Wolski going straight to the net, gets the rebound and gets the forehand goal along the ice. The Avalanche take a 2-0 lead, and they're still not done. Minute 36 later, Wojciech Wolski scores his second goal of the period, his fourth of the season from Tyler Arneson and Marek Svatos. And this was his fourth career multi-point game, and the Avalanche take a 3-0 lead. Arneson with some good work along the far boards. He got the puck to Wojciech Wolski in the slot. He kind of whiffed on the first shot attempt after the defenseman deflected the puck off his right knee, and it went right to Volsky's backhand, and he directed the puck along the ice past Oli Kolzig, and Kolzig was pulled after the first intermission. The Avalanche in the first period had 10 shots, Tampa Bay with only 5. Marek Svatos, 3 minutes, 4 seconds of ice time in the first period and had 3 assists. That's pretty efficient, and definitely a good point to minutes play ratio for Marek Svatos. Doesn't get much better than that, and the Avalanche take a 3-0 lead in the second period. Not a whole lot going on in the second period until Vinny LeCavalier scores his 10th of the season from Paul Ranger and Ryan Malone at 12-17. He extended his point streak, LeCavalier by he, I meant, and he extended his point streak to 7 games. Paul Ranger shot from the point at a bunch of traffic in front of the net. The puck eventually made its way back to Ranger driving in from the point. He found LeCavalier along the far boards, who one-timed a huge shot over Raycroft's left shoulder. Raycroft looked like he was in pretty good position, but just wasn't quite where he needed to be. But that's what LeCavalier does. And the Tampa Bay Lightning get within 2 goals, with the score being 3-1. Mike Smith with a couple left pad saves on Milan Hayduk and Marek Svatos during this period to keep the game 3-1. And shots in the period, the Avalanche had 12 shots and the Tampa Bay Lightning only 4. And then 3:42 into the third period, the Avalanche take a 4-1 lead. David Jones scores his second of the year from Cody McCormick and Brett Clark. And the Avalanche go up 4-1. Mike Smith was trying to do his best Marty Turco impersonation pretty much all period long. You could see what he was trying to do, and he definitely, you could tell he's been inspired by Marty Turco, who he played for a few years with in Dallas. And it backfired this time. Cody McCormick knocked down the shot, and David Jones picked it up in the slot, made a good move to break. It made 2 really good moves, one off the defenseman and then one off Mike Smith, and the Avalanche take a 4-1 lead. 5:57 into the period, Steve Downey and Cody McLeod get into a fight after McLeod knocked Steve Downey on his butt. Downey just acquired from the Flyers, and I was kind of surprised Downey wanted to go after such a long shift, but he was definitely willing. He came right up to McLeod after the hit. Cody McLeod handed it to him, and those of us that are true hockey fans, never mind watching Steve Downey get it handed to him. So the Cody McLeod, David Jones, and Cody McCormick line looking really, really good, very effective in many ways, including on the tough side, and the Avalanche still up 3-1. Paul Stastny was hit on the inside of his left foot with a shot about halfway through the period. He went to the locker room and returned soon after, so that's good news on the injury front for once in a while. Paul Stastny, for those of you that watched the game, sporting the alternate captain's A. Ian LaPerriere, right, well, with Joe Sakic out and Adam Foote out, both indefinitely, basically Ian LaPerriere has an alternate captain's A every game, which is a great move, but the other two are being kind of rotated around, so definitely get used to Paul Stastny wearing something on his chest. I think eventually it'll be the C, but a lot of rotating going on by Tony Granato. That's cool with me. Back to hockey. Ryan Malone scored his 7th of the year on the power play from Steve Eminger and Steven Stamkos. It's 9:19, and the Avalanche get their lead cut to 2. This was 27 seconds into a Lightning power play. Ryan Malone, a great deflection past Andrew Raycroft, and they get within 2. 12 and a half minutes into the third period, Cody McCormick high sticks Vinny LeCavalier, and then just a minute 45 later, Vinny caught a puck off the face. It's time to go full shield maybe with him. But his face took a beating in the third period. Then the Lightning scored again. The Avalanche have a 4-3 lead at this point. Steve Stamkos scores his third of the season on the power play from Vinny LeCavalier and Steve Eminger at 15:31. A really, really nice pass by LeCavalier, who's not only a finisher, he's a playmaker. And Stamkos, a big one-timer from the slot, beats Raycroft. And that was the end of the scoring. Andrew Raycroft, 17 saves on 20 shots. Oli Kolzig, 7 out of 10, saw 10 shots, only stopped 7 after being pulled, before being pulled after the first period. Mike Smith then stopped 20 of 21 that he saw, but he's actually the losing goaltender since he gave up the fourth goal. That kind of sucks, but oh well. Tampa Bay, 2 for 6 on the power play. The Avalanche, 1 for 4. Notables for the Lightning, Vinny LeCavalier, a goal and assist and three shots. Steve Eminger, two assists. Steve Stamkos, nice young talented kid, a goal and assist. And Ryan Malone, a goal and five hits. Notables for the Avalanche, Brett Clark, an assist and nine block shots. Great defensive game by him. Wojciech Wolski, two goals and four shots. Ruslan Salehe, four shots. Tyler Arneson, two assists. And Marek Svatos, like I said, three assists and four shots on net. So a strong game by all those guys. And that's it. That's enough. That's a lot of talking. You know, like I said, it's been a while. I do it as often as I can. So the fifth game that I cover in this podcast, Saturday, November 29th, the Avalanche beat the Lightning at Pepsi Center 4-3. I'll be right back with some news and notes. The show is, it'll go a lot faster from here. So thanks for your patience. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you feel all informed now. So don't go anywhere. Avalanche. This is the Steve Moore and Jeff Odgers edition of the podcast. So thanks again for joining me. Let's get right to the news and notes. November 22nd against the Kings, Adam Foot left the game with all kinds of injuries, neck, back, upper back, concussion, knee, after being hit by John Zeiler. I'll get to that in a second. And Wojciech Wolski left the Kings game after his head was officially squished between Sean O'Donnell's forearm and the boards. Wojciech Wolski back, Adam Foot, haven't seen him since, and no real timetable on his return. On the 24th against the Ducks, Joe Sakic was due back in the lineup. His back was feeling a little bit better, but he actually missed the Ducks game due to an emergency root canal the night before, and just can't catch a break with Joe Sakic so far this year. The NHL also that day announced that the Kings forward John Zeiler was suspended for three games for his hit on Adam Foote during November 22nd's game against the Kings, and three games. Yeah, we're cutting down on that. Thank you, NHL. Darcy Tucker also left the Ducks game on the 24th, early in the third period, with a knee injury after colliding with Ducks forward Brendan Morrison. Darcy Tucker, I'll get to that in a second. On the 25th, the Avalanche announced that they had recalled Kyle Komiski from Lake Erie in the AHL. At the time, he was leading all defensemen for the Monsters with 8 points, a goal and seven assists, and 16 games played, and it was the second recall of the season. So welcome back to the big club, Kyle Komiski. The Avalanche also announced that they had placed forward Darcy Tucker on the injured reserve with a knee injury. He'll be out approximately 4 weeks. The fans, let's see, all right, also on the 24th. Sorry, I'm going back in time just a little bit. The Avalanche fans voted that Peter Budaj's save on Calgary's Wayne Primo during the November 18th game against the Flames was the Avalanche's play of the week. So this play is now eligible for the playoff play of the year bracket-style playoff tournament that the fans will decide at the end of the season. Kind of a cool thing, getting the fans involved, so congratulations, Peter Budaj. Nice job. Let's see. The Avalanche against the Blues on November 26th. Joe Sakic returned to lineup after missing the past six games with back and tooth issues and played 28 seconds. And he played actually most of this game and then left a little later in the third period. I'll get into that a little bit later in the news and notes section. Wojciech Wolski returned to lineup after missing the last game against the Ducks with a squished head. And John Michael Lyles was out of the lineup due to the flu this game and the next game. Also on the 26th against the Blues, Paul Stastny played in his first game against his older brother, Jan, for the first time in their NHL careers. That was kind of cool. They were also punching each other and stuff during the game. That was cool. And let's see. All right, November 28th against the Coyotes, Joe Sakic left the game after one shift with a bad back. And Adrian Dater in his blog said that Joe Sakic had missed practice for precautionary reasons on Thursday and said he would say that Joe Sakic was more questionable than probable for the Coyote game. And here's the only thing with Joe Sakic is that I'm not quite sure that he didn't I mean, one shift, really, and that was it. I thought maybe, you know, he'd have an idea that his back didn't feel too well. A healthy Cody McCormick would have done a lot more good than a Joe Sakic who played one shift. I don't know whether he got tweaked or whether it never felt good to begin with or whether he just felt like he needed to play, but this is as close as I'm going to get to criticizing Joe Sakic, is that 28 seconds, you had to have some kind of an idea that you were not 100% or well enough to play. And just go ahead and say, Cody McCormick, get in there, play a little center. So, I mean, the Avalanche are already down one center as it is, but it's a little frustrating. Joe Sakic having a rough time, and A little more on him in a little bit. The Avalanche play of the week for last week, actually, that just ended. Marek Svatos' shootout game winner against Kings goaltender Eric Erzberg on November 22nd won. Great goal by him. Also up for play of the week last week, Lappi's tip-in goal off John Michael Lyle's shot for the Avs' only goal against the Ducks on November 24th. It was the only shot that beat J.S. Chiguerre during this game, and Ryan Smith's power play tip-in goal off Jordan Leopold's shot from the point versus the Blues on November 26th that beat Manny Legacy underneath his pads. You could have casted your votes on avalanche.nhl.com. Definitely do that next time. I don't know which ones will be up, but they just announced that. And there'll be another one up this week, so definitely go check that out, avalanche.nhl.com, for the play of the week and become part of that. On November 29th, the Avalanche announced that they had recalled former University of Denver defenseman Aaron McKenzie from Lake Erie in the AHL. He signed with the Avalanche as a free agent last July. This is his first call-up ever. Aaron McKenzie had, during that time, 3 goals and 3 assists with the Monsters. To free up roster space for McKenzie, the Avalanche placed defenseman Adam Foote on the injured reserve with upper back and knee issues. This move was retroactive to November 22nd, so whenever Adam Foote is ready to go, he'll be able to get right back in the lineup. And John Michael Lyles, during the game on the 29th against the Lightning, returned to the lineup after missing the past 2 games with the flu, so it's definitely good to see him back out there with his energy that he brings. On November 30th, the Avalanche announced that Joe Sakic will be out indefinitely with a bad back. He has another MRI scheduled, I guess, and any details, I'll keep you up to date on that. But things are not looking good for Joe Sakic right now. He could be out a while. Adrian Dater is especially worried about it, and backs in hockey do not get along very well. Backs in life don't get along very well, especially when they're bad. But we'll see. I think this gives the Avalanche a chance to kind of create a new identity, because having Joe in and out of the lineup and maybe playing and maybe not playing, it's kind of hard to figure out who's going to do what on a last-minute basis. And these guys are professionals. They do it pretty well. But now that they know that Joe's going to be out for a while, maybe they can create a new identity and see how they do. They did that pretty well last year, and hopefully they do it this year as well. And on December 1st, Aaron McKenzie was reassigned to Lake Erie, so people are getting healthier. So, Aaron McKenzie, thanks for coming. We'll see you again soon, hopefully sometime. Also in the news this week, Claude Lemieux making a comeback. He's playing with the San Jose Sharks minor league affiliate, and he has a one-way contract, so he can actually sign with any team in the NHL. And Claude Lemieux actually said he would love to play for the Colorado Avalanche again. I don't know for how much. He's 42 years old, but I guess he's still got it. They don't play around. They're not going to put just anybody on one of the minor league affiliates. Claude Lemieux, I don't think, is going to put a whole lot of people in the seats. So, I don't know. Just some FYI for you, and we'll have to wait and see. Maybe he'll come join the Avalanche again. Heck, why not? And that's it. That's it for episode number 36, the news and notes section of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for everything Avalanche. I'll be right back with your responses to the last show's question of the week. I'll give you some friends that I'd like you to go visit. And I'll also talk a little bit about the upcoming or anywhere. So thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Jay Veen. Appreciate your time. And my question of the week last show was your thoughts on this year's team as related to Andrew Brunette's departure. And I got some great conversation going, and I'm going to read these real quick, and we'll see where we go from here. So Lord Stanley on the AvalancheTalk.com forum said, it's very hard to disagree with anything in that article. This was actually an article written by Adrian Dater on his blog, and just talking about what this year's team has done without Brunette and kind of the circumstances behind him leaving. So he said, Lord Stanley said, it's very hard to disagree with anything in that article. He says, it's also hard to add to it. And he said, it's well said by Dater. And Lord Stanley goes on to say, I think he echoes the concern that many of us have expressed here. I've definitely berated the front office for the personnel decisions they have made. There are only so many Hayduks and Drurys that you can bring up through the farm system. The rest of the roster has to be solidified with proven veterans. To me, those last two words speak volumes about this team. This organization is trying to pull the wool over our eyes, like the local Major League Baseball team, the local NFL team, and local NBA teams do every single spring. There was a time when the Avalanche talent spoke for itself. Nowadays, the illusion of talent is sold to us like a sleazy used car salesman trying to push you into purchasing a Yugo. Deep down, we know that Yugo is a piece of stuff. See most of the Avalanche rosters. But we buy it anyways because it's such a great deal. This is the main reason why I don't like the organization having its own network to broadcast these games and deliver us information. Do you ever hear one negative comment about the Avalanche by the major commentators in altitude? They are constantly polishing turds. Well said, Lord Stanley. Thanks for chiming in. And I also think that the Avalanche... I mean, I can understand that Stan Kroenke wants to make money. I don't blame him for that. I don't... Heck, if I could buy my own television network, I'd do it too. But I think in a sense, and at least how he or somebody has told the announcers, they said, don't say anything bad. It's a conflict. I think it's a conflict of interest, and I think it's not fair to the fans. How are Avalanche fans and hockey fans supposed to learn what's right and what's wrong about the game if no one ever does anything wrong for the Avalanche? I mean, there's ways. You can't, as a commentator, say, wow, that guy really sucks. But you can say, you know, here's what he should have done, or here's what he'll do when he reviews the tape, or he'll want that one back, or this is where he's going to want to be next time this comes up. And it's just too bad. It is kind of tough to watch. But Lord Stanley, thanks for bringing that up again. All right, back to the question of the week. Nemesis 44 UK came in and said, absolutely agree with AD's comments. I believe I wrote a comment preseason saying that to let Bruno go was astoundingly bad move. As for the current lineup, I don't really know what to say. On paper, the team should be much better than it is. Something has to change, and soon. And Nemesis, Phil also brought up a soccer team over in the UK where he lives about how they changed coaches, and that was and they changed managers, and it was the beginning of a new era. So I don't know. This continues. So Odd Man Rush came in and said, I was just reading Spectre's soapbox on the Western Conference, and here is what he had to say about the Avs. Colorado Avalanche, inconsistency is also the watchword in Colorado. Last month it was their goaltending, letting them down. Now starter Peter Budaj's game has improved, but their offense has dried up. They could be suffering from a lack of leadership provided by aging captain Joe Sakic, who's been sidelined recently with a back ailment. All their top scorers are minus players, and recently there's been a lack of overall effort in their game. Head coach Tony Granato could find himself out of a job if the Avs fail to pick up their performance in the coming weeks. That was Spectre on his blog. And then Oddman Rush said, I think Granato is on everyone's mind to some degree as the scapegoat for the problems we're having right now. My questions are twofold. Is this an accurate or deserving analysis? And if Granato were canned, who are the viable replacements? So this is kind of where the conversation went now. Lord Stanley came back in and said, I hear a lot of people calling for Granato's head, but I do not believe that anything will change if he is axed. The troubles of this team go way deeper than the head coach. The sad thing is that Granato probably will get fired because that is the easiest thing to do, but it will not make a bit of difference on our record this season. There's no magician out there that can right this ship. Adding actual proven talent is the only way this team is going to play better. And then SF19 came in and said, firstly, I don't think it was a lack of effort on the Avalanche's part. That was the reason Brunette went to Minnesota. I have a feeling he's wanting to finish his career there, and he took a pay cut to do so. I'm going to have to agree that Granato needs to go. We need a Lunai Morello-type coach or a Jacques Lemaire. I'm not sure who would be a candidate, but I think a front office shakeup is the first thing we need to do. And then Nemesis 44 UK came back in and said, Lord Stanley, what would you do to improve the team if not remove Granato? So that was the conversation that went on, and this bleeds right into my new question of the week. We're just going to continue the conversation, and my question to everybody out there is, what's next for our Avalanche? What is the organization going to do or need to do in order to kind of turn things around? Because the Avalanche have been very, very inconsistent lately, and that consistent effort is not there. A lot of things going on. So do they need a new coach? Do they need to make a trade? Do they need to bring up some youngsters to kick a few regular players in the butt a little bit? Or do they need something else? I know there's some CBA stuff and all kinds of cap room issues, whatever. But what does the organization need to do to turn things around? And that's my question to you. So we'll just continue the conversation. If you want to come join us at avalanchetalk.com forum, that would be you, Ryan Rebow, and Kevin Rebow. Come join us, please. And we'd love to have you join our conversation. For those of you that go on the Avalanche forum on the Avalanche site and get a little overwhelmed, come join us. It's a little more laid back and definitely more of a grown-up conversation. So come join us, avalanchetalk.com. You can also email me, avalanchepodcast@comcast.net. I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your responses. So that is the new question of the week. Where does the team go from here if they continue to play like this throughout the season? I mean, they're not in bad shape right now. But they definitely aren't going to go very far if they keep playing like they are so far through the first quarter of the season. The other thing about Joe Sakic being out too is, like I said before, I think the Avalanche are going to be able to create hopefully a new identity for themselves, and they'll be able to know that Joe Sakic isn't going to be in the lineup for a while, and maybe they can kind of move on from that. We'll always welcome Joe back and want him back way sooner than later, but knowing that he's going to be out for a while will allow some people to step up big time, so hopefully that happens. All right, here's a few friends of the show that I'd really love you to go say hi to and check their stuff out. Avcast with Chris Zeal. His new URL is to be announced. I'm not quite sure what it's going to be, but avcast.com expired, and there's some things going along in the avalanchetalk.com forum. Come join us there, too. I'll get back to you about where you can find Chris, another Avalanche podcaster and an Avalanche buddy of mine. So please go check him out. The avalanchetalk.com forum, like I said, come join us there. Just take us a second to sign up. No big deal. And you can join the conversation. We'd love to have you there. Love to hear from you. For those of you that found me on iTunes, I just want to thank Avs Fan in Michigan for the feedback he left recently. And I will reset the feed soon, so you'll see probably two versions of the show until the new one's on there. And just resubscribe to the new one. And we'll see how we do as far as bandwidth this month, and we'll move ahead from there. And like I said, you can always email me at avalanchepodcast@comcast.net. You can also visit my page. I have all the highlights from YouTube on there. You can also leave me a message there at avshockeypodcast.podomatic.com. So that's all the stuff you need to know about me. All right, let's go into the upcoming games tonight. In about, when I'm recording this, in about 35 minutes, the Avalanche will play the Minnesota Wild on December 1st at the XL Energy Center. That'll be a 6 o'clock Mountain Time. Mikko Koivu, the leading scorer for the Wild with 6 goals and 15 assists. And Antti Mietinen having a great year so far, 6 goals and 10 assists. Andrew Brunette, our old friend, 7 goals and 5 assists. Brett Burns, I don't know if he's back in the lineup or not, but always dangerous. I think he is, but we'll have to wait and see. And Nicklas Backstrom, 13-6 on the year with a 2.15 goals against. That's what we've come to expect from him. So hopefully the Avalanche can steal one. And especially within the division, it's always important to beat those guys so they don't get any more points and you can gain a little bit more ground. The Avalanche not doing terribly for how they've played, but like I said, they keep playing like this, they're not going anywhere. Next game for the Avalanche will be Thursday, December 4th at the Summit Center against the Nashville Predators. That'll be a 6 o'clock Mountain Time start. I'm used to the Gaylord Center, whatever they used to call it, but somebody paid him a bunch of money, so now it's the Summit Center. Defenseman Shea Weber for the Predators having a huge year. Is actually the team's leading scorer with 10 goals and 12 assists. JP Dumont has 4 goals and 17 assists. And Avalanche killer throughout the years, Jason Hart at 11 goals and 7 assists. These numbers might be a little bit off. I took the notes a few days ago, so if they're a little bit off, I think you get the picture. The Avalanche will play again the next night, Friday, December 5th, at the American Airlines Center against the Dallas Stars. That'll be 6:30 Mountain start on that one. Mike Ribeiro, 2 goals and 17 assists for the Stars so far this season. Brad Richards, 6 goals and 13 assists. Louis Erickson, 11 goals and 7 assists. Brendan Morrow is out for the year with an ACL, and Marty Turco really having a bad year so far. You can come join the Avalanche if you'd like to. He was 6-10 so far this year with a 3.64 goals against and an .866 save percentage. So not Marty Turco-like numbers. I'm sure he'll be back eventually, but the Avalanche definitely need to take advantage of Marty Turco when he's not playing that well. But the Avalanche have always fared pretty well against Marty Turco anyway. So, yeah, I just jinxed that. Way to go, Jay. All right, Sunday, December 7th, the Avalanche will play at Pepsi Center. Looky there, against the Canucks. That'll be a 6 o'clock Mountain Time start on that one. Henrik Sedin, 3 goals and 19 assists. Daniel Sedin, 11 goals and 11 assists. Roberto Luongo has been out for a little while with the groin, and Curtis Sanford has done just fine. Not sticking up for him. He's filling in for him, and the team hasn't really missed a beat. Still playing well. I believe right now tied with the Wild for first place in the division. So the Avalanche can do a little bit of damage there and take care of business. So I'll also be there on that one. I'll give you all kinds of details on that one. Some kind of a special promotion they're running. I get to skate before the game on the ice. So I think I'm going to smash my face up against the boards a few times or something. I'll tell you guys to look for that. Anyways, the next game for the Avalanche after that will be Tuesday, December 9th against the Los Angeles Kings at Pepsi Center. That'll be a 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time start on that one. Andrzej Kopitar, the line of Kopitar, Dustin Brown, and Alexander Frolov, always good. Kopitar, 5 goals, 13 assists. Dustin Brown, 8 goals and 7 assists. Alex Frolov, 7 goals and 6 assists. Eric Erisberg looked great in net last time. And he has taken over that number one spot for Jason LaBarbera. So hopefully the Avalanche can continue the success that they've had against Erzberg as well. And John Zeiler should probably watch his back just a little bit. I'm sure the Codys will be looking out for him, and I'm sure Inley Perrier will be more than happy to let them know what they thought about that hit on Adam Foote. And that is it. That's a long enough show. I believe this is the longest show ever. I do my best to get them out as quick as I can, but sometimes you just get busy. So that's it for episode number 36 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for everything Avalanche. Thanks for joining me for the Steve Moore and Jeff Odgers edition of the show. And until next time, after these next maybe hopefully three or four games, I'll get another show up, and we can do it all over again. So until next time, let's go Avs. Wait, I didn't do that right. So until next time, take care. Let's go Avs. See you next time on the Avs Hockey.